Hey everyone, and welcome to another Cherished Conversation. I know you guys loved last week with beautiful Pastor Katie and Pastor Alicia. Yes. If you didn't catch that one, all our Cherished Conversations are actually logged on YouTube, so you can catch up with anything you missed. But today, I have my friend and your friend, Pastor Tessa Fuller. Tessa Fabulous Fuller here today, and we're going to be talking about all things parenting. Ooh. And this is such a huge topic, Tessa. When I promoted on my Instagram that we were going to be talking about parenting, I was flooded with yes and amen, thank God. Good. I need this.
We do.
So we are going to scratch an itch today, cherished girls and cherished guys who have snuck on. Actually, I want to call you a merge man. You're not cherished guys. You're a merge man. I don't want to muddy the waters, but we're happy for you to sneak in and observe some women's business and learn a thing or two. But we're going to jump into the parenting topic. Good. And there's so much to cover, so I want to get straight in there. And at the end, I'm going to tell you about Cherish Conference happening this weekend. Yes. Online. All right, Tessa, let's start with
this
one.
Let's do it.
What is the main goal with parenting? What would you say if you've got a new parent or a parent that's needing answers? What is my goal as a parent?
Yeah, wow, that's a great big question to start with.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
But I think I adopted a long time ago advice that was given to me, wisdom, always get it, right? Yeah. Which is that my main job as a parent, raising Christian kids, train them up as they should go, is that I wanted my kids to love God and like me.
Wow.
They didn't have to love me all the time.
Wow.
Didn't have to love every decision I made.
Yeah.
You know? I wanted to always make, if they loved God and just liked me, it was all gonna come around in the end.
So the main goal was you wanted to raise kids who loved God.
Absolutely. Fear God. Yes.
Yeah. And fear God. Well, yeah. Good. Thank you for that. That's so helpful. And so how has that changed during the COVID-19 shutdown and lockdown? So many parents thrown a wobbly, having to become homeschool parents.
Yeah.
Juggle the dynamics of now having less of an income. So there's the stress in the home, as well as having to look after kids, as well as life being turned upside down.
Yeah.
What did you do and what counsel could you give to our friends?
Yeah, well, COVID was super fun, right? Because it definitely showed us any cracks we may had in our parenting, right? I mean, it showed us cracks in everything in life,
right?
But definitely in our parenting. I mean, I know for our family, we were moving, and so we got to quarantine in like a 900 square foot condo, which meant Charles came home from work and he was there, and both the kids were there, and everybody was online trying to figure out what to do. And wow, it brought out not always the best in all of us.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So I think that when I look back, I hope that most of us during quarantine looked at that experience and thought, okay, this is an opportunity that I have to look at the cracks that I have in my parenting, to look at the things we haven't done. Because when you're squeezed, whatever's inside comes out, right?
Very true.
We were all squeezed during quarantine. So what was coming out was, you know, the things that we'd kind of maybe let go, maybe the sassiness that we had kind of ignored, the boundaries that we hadn't set up maybe quite as good before.
Wow. So this was all obvious now in the petri dish.
It was magnified, right?
Yes.
Totally magnified. And then what a great opportunity. Like, okay, I've got the time to do it now.
Yeah.
Because no one can parent my kids as good as I can, right?
Right.
No one can parent.
Yes.
You can't, no one, the school does not parent your kids as good as you do.
That's
so
right.
Yes, I know we all needed a break sometimes and still do because there's most kids are not back in school. But now you've got them. So you get to sow your values in them, your ideas.
Give us some examples of things, maybe some cracks that you saw in areas that you need to tighten ship and then what you did to fix them. So I know we've got mums out there today who are at home with three, sometimes four kids, and the kids are fighting and they're frazzled and they didn't sign up for this because they were used to the 8 to 3 p.m. school run. And then their kids were tired when they came home, and now they've got these three energizer buddies all day.
Yeah.
What counsel would you give to them? Like, how would you help them to stay stable in this unstable environment?
Totally. Well, we're praying for you, mamas. Those mamas that are out there that have that have that going on, because I know we've been there. We all know what that's like.
Yeah.
And now with the extra stress added onto it, for sure. I mean, I think that you have to have some sort of structure.
Yes.
I mean, you have to just get down to the nitty gritty. Whether you're a planner or not, put some structure in your home.
Right.
Because chaos is not going to, there's no fruit that's going to come out of chaos,
yeah,
right?
Well, so you've got to put nasty.
Exactly. You don't want that kind of fruit.
Yeah,
no.
That's right.
So you need to get some structure. So I would tell those mamas to make sure that they figure out how to make sure they're having a little bit of quiet time, even if that means that you do your devotion sitting in the on the toilet really quickly, or in the shower, or go in the car really quick and, you know, have 10 minutes with God to make sure you're filled up. And then put some structure in your house. If that means that they sit and watch TV for an hour while you get it together for the day, then that's what it means. That's okay.
It is, and it's okay. It's okay for kids to do that. So let's talk about the parents who are now going, wow, sounds amazing that you could even consider walking out and having an hour to yourself or whatever it may be, because my kids are maniacs. I have noticed as I've gotten older that discipline seems to have been something that a lot of parents have put by the wayside and have become a little bit more tolerant of things that they shouldn't tolerate and pandered things that they should be addressing. So I just know that there are women out there and they're frazzled, and the result isn't because, and it's not because your kids are bad, it's because you haven't, as you say, created boundaries and then enforced them. So let's talk a little bit about discipline. Let's talk about what it looks like to really set a boundary. So if I'm a wild, crazy three-year-old and mommy has just had enough, instead of losing my cool and spanking everybody to kingdom come, what do I do to create a home where, yes, there's energy and creativity, but there's also peace?
Oh, peace. That's what we all need in our homes. Absolutely. And your kids will thrive in that kind of environment. So you've got to create it. But I remember, again, advice I got a long time ago saying that, like, if you don't start when they're two and three and they're giving you a little bit of sass right then, you know, and you think it's cute because, you know, you've got a little girl with her hands on her hips and she's telling you, you know, and you're giggling because it's cute maybe when they're two and three. Well, if you don't get a hold of that now, what does that look like when they're 16 and they're doing it
back
to
you? Not attractive.
No.
Go on Instagram. Have a scroll. You'll see the fruit of that kind of parenting.
Well, I think that as parents, we've made it like an idol to, like, make sure our kids are happy. You know, and and that's not our job to make sure our kids are happy. If we're a snowplow parent and we make sure that, like, there's no obstacles in front of them and they're always happy and they don't have to do the things that we've maybe asked them to do, or they don't have to sit down and have some self-control once in a while, or they don't have to apologize, or they don't have to share, then again, the fruit of that, like, what does that look like when they're now teenagers and adults and they have no self-control?
That's right.
And they have no boundaries. And we have all these, like, young adults walking around being triggered all the time because somebody disagrees with them and things are not their way. So boundaries from the beginning when they're little, and that means that it's clear and consistent all the time.
Well, there's that scripture, and many of you would know this one in Proverbs. It's famous. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. So we're actually training our children in these real formative years when they're toddlers and then get into elementary school, how to behave when they leave us.
100%. That's
our job. We're teaching them how to be upstanding citizens in society and blessings and not little terrors. So in order to do that, there have to be boundaries. And I would say to the mums out there who are struggling with disciplining their children, it is hard in the beginning, but persist. And eventually what you're going to do is you're going to create an atmosphere where mommy speaks and the word is obeyed because you follow through. Another thing too, I think, with kids and some parents is they will threaten. If you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you.
But there's no follow through.
And the spanking never comes. And I've seen this so many times, and I'm like, I'll volunteer. I'll do it.
That's
But don't threaten if you're not going to follow through.
No.
Because what that teaches that child is mommy doesn't mean what she says. She's just exasperated. She's speaking out of emotion, and I'm going to get my way eventually.
Yeah, 100%. Follow through with what you say. If you're not going to do it, then just don't say it.
Don't say
even the one, two, three. When mine were little, like, I didn't even do the, like, one, I need you to come over here. Two, you better listen. Three, no. Because again, like, no one's one, two, three-ing them when they're an adult and they need to actually, like, discipline. And their boss is not going to one, two, three them. And so I wanted them to at least have the response, like you said, mommy speaks, daddy speaks, babysitter, teacher, whatever it is, and you listen. If you can't honor your parents and obey you're that, then they're never going to obey God. Wow. So wow. It just all follows through.
It's so true. And I think that's key. And I think we forget that. And there are some parents who are trying to treat their kids as friends or peers.
Yes.
And it doesn't work because no. The Bible very clearly says, if you honor your parents, you will live long in the land. And so there's a blessing attached yes. to teaching our children to honor us rightly. And that doesn't mean that we're dictators and that we rule with an iron fist. Your home can be a loving environment, but there has to be discipline and order. And that means a structure, but also an atmosphere of where mommy and daddy speak, there's obedience that follows after.
Respect. You gotta have that level of respect.
You do. So, with that in mind, what would you say to parents who are rescuing their kids out of situations mm-hmm. that may actually be a great life lesson for them that they can instruct them through as opposed to rescue them from?
Yeah, I know you've told great stories about this, but snowplow parenting is what I think I'd read a long time ago when they were little. And it's like one of the hardest things not to do, you know? I mean.
And what is snowplow parenting? It's pushing obstacles out of the way.
Yep, going in front of them and making sure there's no obstacles in front of them.
So you never have a problem.
Yeah.
You never
I'm going to make sure your life is smooth and you're happy all the time because that's really our heart's desire. Of course, we want our kids to be happy.
They're our babies.
Yeah, but if you move every obstacle out of their way, and that doesn't mean you don't advocate for them when there's something that really, you know, our job is to protect them.
Right, right, right.
But you don't need to go in and move every obstacle out of their way. If there's a teacher, excuse me, that maybe isn't their favorite, are you going to call the school and switch them to a better class? Is that teacher being, no.
Wow.
Because they're going to have a boss someday that isn't going to be their favorite. What are you going to do then?
That's
you know?
Right.
We don't move every obstacle out of their way because they don't learn from it. I mean, when looking at our lives, did we learn from all the happy times or did we actually learn from the challenges we had?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I had my daughter ask me that very thing a couple of years ago. She got her classroom assignment uh-huh. for school and she found out who her teacher was going to be. And she's like, oh my gosh, I got the mean teacher. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, good. I'm sure the mean teacher in these days is actually the good teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, Mom, will you call and see if we can switch classes? And it was a beautiful opportunity for me to go, no, Zoe, this is a great opportunity mm-hmm. for you to understand a life lesson that we're going to be in environments where we won't always like or the people we're put with are not our preference. But we have to learn to thrive and survive and flourish in those environments anyway. And, you know, the funny thing is, throughout that process with my Zoe, she actually came to really love this teacher. Uh-huh. She loved the boundaries. She actually really thrived within the confines of the strictness of this woman's atmosphere that she created. So I think we really rob our children when we rescue them. We come in like a helicopter pilot and we drop that ladder and we pull them out, as opposed to letting them learn a valuable life lesson.
I mean, the Bible says discipline is love.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know you all love your kids, so we need to put those boundaries in place. We need to discipline them. We need to love them through some of those things that aren't fun and easy and happy.
And fair. And you talked about the word fair in your family.
That's right.
Is the F word.
The F word.
It's
we don't use
word.
The F word in our family, and that F word is fair.
Right.
I did not want to hear kids be entitled and bratty and be like, that's not fair, you know, because it's not, life is not fair, which I know none of us love hearing, but, but you know, any of you with multiple kids know that kids are different, right?
Yeah.
Very different personalities. And what is going to be fair for one or what one needs, the other is not going to need the exact same in life.
Right.
So I didn't want to set that up from the beginning.
And it's important to know too that fair is not anything that is attainable in the world standards either. And we're seeing a lot of explosive behavior around and about the world because of people are looking for fairness instead of actually looking to God. And
work
God is a God of justice. But fair is nothing we were ever promised, especially in the scriptures.
Oh,
so it's important to set that precedent with our kids.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about parenting with your spouse if you disagree on how something should be handled. And I know this happens a lot because we're all raised in different families.
Exactly.
Different upbringings, different experiences. So we're going to approach the parenting thing according to our past. How would you advise mums out there, dads out there, if they're at a stalemate with their spouse on how to deal with something.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's a question.
I mean,
because you're 100% right. Everybody comes from different backgrounds, different disciplines, different, you know, ways they were raised. And we have to be careful that we don't tend to go the we tend to take what we were raised and go the opposite or extreme or whatever based on how we liked it and how we did it.
Yeah.
You got to be on the same page. I mean, at least close. You got to be in the same box. You know what I mean? You've got to at least mom and dad get on the same page because your kids are super smart and they know when you're not on the same page.
Yes.
And
so, they're crafty.
Oh, right.
They'll manipulate that division, that thread of it. If they sniff it out, they will whip that baby home.
Absolutely.
Till they get what they want.
Yeah, go to one, ask the same question. Go to another, ask the same question. Doesn't mean they're bad. They're just smart. So use that to their advantage. But absolutely, you got to get on the same page. I mean, as much as possible, talk about it ahead of time, right?
Yes.
And I think parents tend to wait too long to have these conversations. Like when you're pregnant, when you're holding that sweet baby that you can't imagine is going to ever look at you and say no, have those conversations. Because I think that most of the time we see parents wait too long to discipline when our kids can actually handle the no or the do not touch that and the correction quicker.
Right.
So get on the same page as quick as you can. Of course, try not to do it in front of the children.
That's great. Can we say that again?
Yeah.
Try not to do it in front of the children, because if they get a sniff of division or tension between you and your spouse, they are really going to exploit that, as I said. So having those, because I've seen that happen a lot. I've seen daddy giving baby or toddler a spanking over bad behavior, and then mom comes in to rescue. Don't you dare lay a hand on my child. Hello. Takes two to make a baby, two to raise a baby, but all of a sudden it's my child.
Right.
And what they do is they sow a seed of division between that child and the other parent. And that child has now picked up, mommy has a different way of looking at this. I'm going to exploit that. And then they run to mommy, daddy's being mean to me. And before you know it, you've got division between mom and dad, and then you've got tension, and then you've got a child that's being taught how to manipulate.
Yeah.
So I think having those conversations, as you say, behind closed doors, just the two of you, and then asking the questions, well, why do you feel the way you do?
Yeah.
I've had conversations with people around spanking, and I know it's a hot button issue, and look, not every kid responds to spanking.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want you to think all of us need to be wielding that wooden spoon, but I think some people throw out the idea of spanking as discipline because they were beaten as children, which is wicked and evil and wrong.
Right.
And the Bible tells us how to discipline a child. It says, discipline your children carefully, carefully. And those who love discipline. So discipline comes from the womb of love, not from the womb of frustration. But if someone has had a backstory of abuse, and many people have, they're like, I am never spanking my kid.
Right. They go the other extreme.
They go the other extreme. And that's not wisdom either. Wisdom is bringing in the whole counsel of God.
Good.
Processing rightly why I feel the way I do and how I can not throw wisdom out, but bring wisdom in, bring grace in, and learn how to do it God's way, when we were shown a way that wasn't right.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think it's important to have those conversations, because if it were me, let's say your dad and you're into spanking and I'm not because I was beaten as a kid, I would want you to say, well, why do you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me about how it felt when you were beaten and you felt ashamed and you felt abused and hated or whatever it may be, and then I would be able to tell you how it felt, and then you would minister to me and say, well, listen, that's not what we're doing with our child.
Right.
We're loving our child, and we will never abuse, we will never spank out of anger, we will only do it to reinforce love and boundaries.
Yeah.
I think it's so important to have that conversation more than just, I don't want to spank, and I do want to spank, and we disagree, and now we're going to get divorced, and now the kid's more broken than ever before.
Serious.
Yeah.
And I hear you saying, instead of talking about the differences, figure out how to do it the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And get wisdom if you don't. If you get to where you just are stuck, right, then just get some wisdom on it. Bring somebody in.
Have you read any books that you would suggest to people?
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of the Baby Wise.
Baby Wise
is an amazing book. Everybody praises it for getting your child to sleep, and that was really important to me. But the discipline aspects, and actually, I think I used that almost the most when I learned how to spank, because we came from those two different backgrounds, like you talked about.
Yeah,
and it really taught me how to spank. Also, shepherding a child's heart, because you know we talk about the differences in the two kids, right?
Yeah. Now, Tessa, we didn't establish this, has two beautiful girls.
Girl family.
15 and 13?
Yes.
15 and 13, and they are magnificent. And the fruit of her life and parenting is really why I asked her to share with us today. And also, it's worth noting that Tessa's husband was in the military. Mm-hmm. So how many deployments did Charles go on? How many times were you essentially almost single parenting?
Yeah, twice. And it was a long time.
How long was his deployment?
His longest deployment was 6 months and then 13 months. So it was a long time of single parenting.
Wow. So over a year in one stint of parenting without a man, a husband around, and yet you've raised these two incredibly respectful, loving, godly girls that are great leaders. Very, very humble too.
Thank you.
They're not divas or drama. They're known in our church community as two really beautiful, tender-hearted, inclusive, God-loving girls.
Thank you.
And your whole family is known that way. So, of course, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, plant them in kids' church, get them in kids' camp right now, get them around other leaders. And now I'm seeing, again, what you start when they're little and you're consistent with when they're little, you will get the fruit of that when they're older.
Right.
And you get to put it back in like all of a sudden teenage years, now you're like, oh. Like I remember one of them, my oldest, who's very strong-willed, like she was two, and I remember being like, oh, it's on. Like, here we go. like it was like this for a while, you know? And we chose to spank her because she needed it. That was what she responded to best. And there were days where it felt like, oh my gosh, child, you're getting like three spankings today. I guess this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a typical day for me. I got multiple spankings a day. I was a naughty, naughty girl, but I was reformed.
Fight through them. You got them because you they deserved them probably.
Oh, I deserve more.
And they were out of love.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And then you've got the and then I have another one who is much more tenderhearted. And if I would have disciplined her like that, it would have wounded her. Yeah. And so I had to learn how to come across and discipline her in a different way.
And how important it is, Tessa, to really acknowledge the differences and the uniqueness in each child.
Yes.
Because I have four children. My eldest son, I could have spanked him multiple times a day and it wouldn't have been enough.
Oh,
and honestly, he really needed the rod of discipline. My youngest son, Tommy, however, I could count on one hand how many times I had to spank that kid, because just a look, just a word of Tommy, that's not appropriate, would be enough to have him straightening up and flying straight.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important for us to know as parents that it's different strokes for different folks. Mm-hmm. No pun intended there, but
yeah.
I think that's helpful. What works with some kids doesn't work with others.
No, and that's really, okay.
And really including the Lord, the Holy Spirit, into your parenting.
Oh my gosh.
How do I cope with this situation?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because they're all unique.
Yes. I usually remember before I had to go in and spank one, I would stand outside their door and just pray for wisdom. And now I still take a moment and pray for wisdom as I'm answering a question with in the teenage years.
Yeah.
So 100% use the Holy Spirit as your biggest guide.
Yes.
And plant those kids in church, because not only are they going to now hear what you're teaching them at home is going to be partnered and reinforced in church.
Yes.
But then they get into youth groups and they have leaders that, like, because where are they going to go when they don't go to maybe mom and dad for everything?
Right, they don't want to talk to mom and dad about some of those nitty-gritty issues that may be a little bit more embarrassing.
So if I plant them here in the house of God, then I know they're going to their leaders. And I've created a relationship with some of those leaders where even if I'm saying, hey, this is something we're kind of working on, can you back me up in this way?
This is so good. And this is so Bible, just so you know. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. And there will come a time, and I think it is the teenage years, where your kids are looking for an amen to everything you've told them.
Yes.
And it's almost like you tell them, and it's like, oh my gosh, mom and dad, of course you have to say that.
Uh-huh.
But then when Cool Paige,
yeah,
the youth leader, yeah, at Awakened Church, says what mom and dad are saying in a much cooler way, wearing, mm-hmm, better clothes, all of a sudden, the penny drops.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Paige said.
Yeah.
Well, Marissa Pyle said.
So true.
And in your head, you're thinking, yeah, I said the same thing to you, flipping every day for the last 5 years, you little ingrate. But of course I don't. I don't say that. I just go,
you just,
oh,
go,
that's wonderful revelation.
You're so smart.
I've never heard before, ever. But how wonderful. That's the way God created 100. It. And that's why church is essential.
Yes, it is.
What would you say to mom and dad who are like, well, little Johnny doesn't like going to church. Johnny's 12. He doesn't feel like he fits in.
Yeah.
He goes and nobody spoke to him.
Yeah.
Would you say persist? Would you say indulge Johnny? Let him stay home and play Xbox for another couple of hours,
yeah,
while,
no,
you go to Wednesday night service?
No.
All right. Tell us,
no,
why.
No. I mean, you live by your values. And if,
right,
church and the house of God is a value to you, then there is no, you know, there may be extreme exceptions sometimes, you know, homework six, something like that.
Right.
But church is a value to you. You need to show them that it's important.
Wow.
And if you're letting a 12-year-old make decisions based on how they feel.
Yes.
Then, you know.
Nightmare.
Right.
Because imagine if they carry that into,
that's
their,
what,
teens. Marriage, making decisions on how,
yeah,
we feel.
Yeah, all these adults, ooh, right now, based on making decisions on their emotions, that's not healthy.
Wow.
So if we're letting a 12-year-old make decisions like that, you know, if they could, then they would be living out on their own by now. But they're,
right,
still living in your home.
Right.
Which,
right,
means your job is not over. And your job is to show them at 12 that I understand that you don't feel like that.
Yes.
But this is actually what we do.
I agree. And I think in those cases, and I bring that up because there are a lot of,
yeah,
situations where that happens, try to connect them with other kids their age that are like them. I know this to be true. Every time I've prayed for a situation concerning my children, God has opened a door that I was not
so
aware,
good,
of. So I don't need my kids to be friends with everybody. I do not. In fact, I don't even know if that's healthy. But there is one or two people who are God and ordained just like them that God has planted everywhere,
yes,
for them to connect,
great,
with.
That's so great.
And you may need to pray that relationship into fruition and massage things a little bit and open your
Have
home.
Have them over, yep.
You've always opened your home.
Mm-hmm.
The Fab Fuller home is open for youth and everybody loves to be with you guys because you've made a decision. I'm going to make the Lord's house my house. Not only am I going to be at church, I am going to be the church.
Yeah, yeah.
So your home is open and you have teams,
yeah,
and people over all the time.
Well, that's what you've always modeled for us. And,
yeah,
because I can do that, then,
yes,
you know, number one, do that if you can, because then you know who your kids are hanging out with.
Right.
And when they are teenagers and they want to just hang out with their friends and they want to go to a fun place,
yeah,
wouldn't you want them at your house? Like,
oh,
that's what
100%.
I want. 100%. Yeah. So have all the food. Have all the snacks, have all the fun,
yeah,
that you can, you know,
yes,
and make sure your doors are always open.
I agree. And,
mm-hmm,
and that was a big thing for me. I didn't have, I think because my parents were quite busy, both of them worked, 5 kids, a lot going on. We didn't often have people sleep over.
Sure.
But I kind of thought in my mind, I want things to be different. And I'll find that any given weekend, we,
yes,
have,
you do,
we have kids constantly.
Yes, you
and
do.
I just made it not a burden and a chore.
It's
so
just
I'll
a
be
joy.
Preaching on Sunday. I've got to preach 3 times at Central. I will have had 3 teenagers or preteens at my house,
uh-huh,
the night before because,
uh-huh,
I've just made a decision within myself. This is not a problem. This is not going to be a stress for me. Whatever's messy can be cleaned up. Whatever bad behavior there is can be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Noise is fine.
Noise is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let kids be kids in the degree that we need to. And
so
just
good.
Let it be like this is my life right now because,
yeah,
as I know, just sending my youngest son off to college, I only have my Zozo left,
yeah,
my 12-year-old daughter. I have 3 older sons, 26, 24, 18, and then my Zoe, who's 12. They grow up so fast,
mm-hmm,
and our house is so quiet these days compared to how it used,
sure,
to be. And you will miss that, and I'm telling you, when you hold grandbabies in your arms one day, you're going to realize, wow, I wish I treasured that time with my teens more and was a little more relaxed about the house, and not worrying about that stain on the carpet. Stains can come out.
Yeah, things can be cleaned.
It's true. Yeah. So just creating an environment for your kids to have their friends over and not feel like they're being put a coaster under that, eat that over the sink downstairs.
Right, right.
It just takes the fun. Like, yeah. My kid wants to be over.
Say yes more than you say no for those kind of things.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, make your house the fun party house. We've got 56 seconds to go till we have to sign off. I need to say a couple of things about Cherish Conference, but what would be your closing thought to all the mums as they parent in this latter end of 2020,
what a year
it's been.
Oh my goodness.
What counsel would you give them? Like, just a parting thought.
Well, I love what you just said. I mean, we are literally doing sometimes the hardest, but the most important job in the world. I mean, we're raising the next generation.
Yeah.
So what you model, what you, you know, the Bible says, you talk about God, you know, going in, going out, all around, all the time. Bring God into it.
Wow.
And just make it a part of your everyday life. And mamas, you're doing a good job. You are. It's a hard job. So find a community.
Yes.
Love those kids and enjoy the journey.
Enjoy them. That's so important.
Yeah.
In closing, I wanted to say, I had a quote going through my head that C.S. Lewis said. He said, mothering is by far the most superior vocation, so much so that every other job exists to support it.
Wow.
So what you're doing, if you're out there and you've said to yourself, I'm just a mom, you're never just a mom. Mothering is the most superior vocation. You are training and raising the next generation. What you do in this time is going to echo through eternity. And I want to say to you too, really try to connect your kids to their own relationship with God. This is something that I started asking my kids recently. What is God speaking to you right now?
Right.
Instead of what is mom speaking to you, what are your friends speaking? What's God? When you pray, like, and that's, oh, I don't know. Just have a think for a second. Just close your eyes and tell me, like, what do you think God's speaking to you right now in your life?
And
it's been an amazing conversation starter. Maybe you can do that with your kids. All right, we've got to come to a close. Tell me about Cherish, Megan. All right. Cherish Conference is happening online.
This weekend, like 2 days.
Yes, in 2 days. Well, we're starting tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night,
you're going to receive, if you registered for Cherish Conference last year, what's going to happen is you're going to get a link in your email, and you're going to get access to our entire program. Incredible speakers. Pastor Chris Pringle is speaking. I've Got a Word. Pastor Ashley Robbins, Pastor Dana Piper, Pastor Michaela Hubbard. We've got some real fun moments. A special recipe with a special guest who is going to blow your mind as well. Some extra fun things. But we want you to join with people. So listen, best case scenario is we were all together in the convention center downtown like we were last year. However, we've had to pivot and we're gonna make the most of it, and it's gonna be super fun and
awesome.
Memorable.
Yep.
So get together with some girlfriends. I've already planned to crash a few different Cherish parties. And we're gonna be having dinner together. We're gonna be watching the program and the incredible messages and ministry moments together. If you're not part of a party, and you want to be, you can watch it alone, but I would advise having friends around you to watch this and enjoying it together. You can just get a hold of our Cherish Instagram and we'll try to partner you up with somebody who's near you so you have fun also. And if you're not registered, you can register one off just to get the link. Go to Cherish Online, text Cherish Online to 94090. Cherish Online. Whole word, one word, to 94090. And you'll get a link and you'll be able to pay to just have the download for this year's conference. We love you guys. We're praying for you. Thank you, Pastor Tessa.
Oh, we are. Thank you for this.
You're
this
fabulous
so
in every way. Thank you for being an inspiration and an example to
Thank
mamas
you for
everywhere.
Modeling it, Pastor Leanne.
Wow. We love you, ladies and gents that snuck in. Have an awesome Thursday and we'll see you, Cherish Online, tomorrow. Conference is going to be amazing.
Yes, it is.
Bye.